How would you describe the state of the state? That's today's big question. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8.5 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, January 20th. Our coverage of Governor Scott Walker's State of the State address continues during today's big question. We will welcome in two state lawmakers to discuss the state of the state of Wisconsin. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. You can also vote in our online poll, which is at wpr.org/joy, and we have posted a link on our Facebook page as well. Let me welcome our two guests. Very happy to have with us Dale Coinga, a Republican state representative from Brookfield and vice chair of the legislature's Joint Finance Committee. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. Thanks for having me.
And Jennifer Schilling joins us as well. She is a Democratic state senator from La Crosse and the minority leader. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Let's start with you, Representative Coinga. The governor last night said that the state of Wisconsin is strong. Do you think he made a good case for that?
Absolutely. If you look at nearly every single metric in Wisconsin since Republicans took over the Assembly and the Senate and the governorship, Wisconsin's in better shape than it was 5 years ago. If you look at our education results, we have gone from an 86% graduation rate in Wisconsin to 88%. The gap between minority students and the rest of the state has significantly closed. And while we've done that, property taxes actually declined. Our income taxes are lower than they were. We have more people working in Wisconsin and more jobs available. We've even increased safety net programs like Medicaid. We have more people on Medicaid. And 100% of the population today in Wisconsin has assistance if they are in poverty. We've done things that also made college more affordable, like freezing tuition. So across the board, whether you look at both anecdotally, which politicians typically do in speeches like that where they point out someone in the crowd, but also if you look at the metrics, by almost nearly every metric, we are in better shape than we were 5 years ago, and I think the governor's speech reflected that.
And we'll go into more of the details, but Senator Schilling, do you think that the governor made a pretty good case or not?
I will respectfully disagree with my colleague that I really found the governor's speech to be underwhelming as far as laying out a vision to inspire Wisconsin. And, you know, just a few short months ago, he thought he could be president of the United States. And I think his comments and his speech focused on, it was really more of a campaign stump speech. It was many of the same lines and themes of his stump speech while running for president. He referred to some very obscure statistics as he started off the speech. You know, as we looked at, I didn't feel there was only one. There's one challenge to the legislature, and we'll get into kind of the meat of his speech, calling on the college affordability. But I felt like he had presidential amnesia, that he did not really remember 2015 in Wisconsin. He was absent for much of it. He didn't touch on, you know, he conveniently forgot to talk about, well, what are the successes of right to work in Wisconsin? What is the success of prevailing wage? We've seen stagnant wages in this state. He didn't mention dismantling the Government Accountability Board and the changes to campaign finance laws, where there'll be more coordination with corporate dollars coming into campaigns and committees. You know, eliminating the 48-hour waiting period for gun purchases. I mean, we had a very tough year in Wisconsin. You look at the jobs that were lost in Wisconsin in 2015. It was a bad year for good jobs in Wisconsin. And the governor can say the state of the state is strong, but I'd like him to tell that to the 1,200 workers who were laid off at Oscar Mayer, or the 400 workers laid off from Tyson Foods, or in, you know, the community that I live in and I represent, the 105 workers at Chart, or the 480 Walmart workers who just got pink slips. I mean, I think people read the headlines, they see what's happening in their communities, and for the workers and their families, the state of the state is just not working for them.
Yeah, and lots to react to there, Representative Coinga. But what about the state of the state for those workers who lost those jobs?
Yeah, that's what, I mean, this is what politicians do, is politicians will pick out anecdotally, like, well, there's 1,200 jobs lost at Oscar Mayer, there's 1,000 jobs lost at Tyson. And those mass layoffs, and for good reason, deserve the news that they get. I mean, when you have a layoff like that, that's not good news. It's not good news for those families. But that's the way economies evolve. Essentially, if you look at what happens in the food industry, I mean, if you look at Oscar Mayer, there is a consumer preference to eat less processed meat. I mean, I think the Madison area in particular has a, you know, looking at comparatively the rest of the state, people that skew away from processed meat. And so when you have these cyclical and these industry changes across the country, and it's actually international, you can't point at a one layoff like that and say, well, that's a reflection on the governor's leadership, or that's a reflection on the policies. What you need to do is look at a broader spectrum. And once you look at a broader spectrum, you see that, yeah, we may have had layoffs at places like Oscar Mayer, but you've had other places like, you know, Exact Science or Epic or companies in the Third Ward of Milwaukee that are new types of companies. They're technology companies. They're medical science companies. And that's the evolution of economies. Economies change. And so if you look across all these different businesses, I think the responsible view is, yes, there's been some layoffs, but there's been other places where people have had employment. And I think that what we've done for that is we've really taken down and we're breaking down the walls in Wisconsin between our high schools and our technical colleges and our businesses. And that's what we need to do. And I think that's one of the big focuses. We've put more money into technical job training in Wisconsin than we've ever have. We continue to do that through the Blueprint for Prosperity. And I think what's key in that is when we're looking at job training, we're making those monies more and more flexible to accommodate what businesses are demanding and what our citizens want, and that's good paying jobs.
Yeah. You want to react some, Senator Schilling, to the job training piece of last night's State of the State? Talked a lot about how people were getting off public assistance and getting jobs.
Well, I mean, despite the national economic recovery, Wisconsin is at a five-year high for mass layoffs. Over 10,000 Wisconsin workers have been affected by outsourcing and business closings in 2015, compared to a little over 6,000 workers in all of 2014. So by all means, we need to commit and invest in worker training. We need to partner with our technical schools and our four-year schools for those skills that are needed. We need to work with employers and for training that they are looking for. So by all means, we certainly need to support and invest and make a priority of skill training. And we hear a lot about the skills gap. We hear a lot about brain drain, where Wisconsin citizens are moving to other states for jobs and things like that. So, you know, these are policy decisions that we should be discussing, A, during the budget, and then we have had seen deep cuts to those institutions of higher learning. And now I kind of feel like we're in sort of the two-minute offense of the legislature, where we are going to be adjourning the assembly possibly next month and the Senate in mid-February. We don't have a lot of time to be working on these important significant issues, and it's something that we should have been doing, you know, leading up to the governor's speech. But certainly we have talked about as Democrats the importance of worker training in partnering and supporting our technical schools and our university system. And that does not mean a $250 million cut to the UW system or deep cuts to the technical college, which has happened in previous budgets.
Representative Cuenca, that we heard in state news that Assembly Speaker Voss was saying that he wanted to pass this higher education plan quickly, full deduction of student loan interest and state on state income taxes and increasing grants for technical colleges. Are you behind this?
Yes, I am. Yep. And if you look at it, it's not a new idea. I mean, I think the senator wrote against respectfully. And by the way, I always appreciate her respectful. She's always respectful. I appreciate that in her. But this isn't a new idea. It's not like the governor and the legislature woke up and said, hey, we need to do something for college affordability. This is something that we've continuously had our fingers on the pulse on since we've been in session this session and previous sessions. If you look at what we've done for 529 plans, we've increased the amount of money that you could put in those plans to save for college. We've also allowed people outside of your family to put money in those 529 529 plans to save for college. The tuition freeze has no doubt made college more affordable. And also done things like where you have a lot of working adults. I think it's about, if I recall correctly, about a third of Wisconsinites have some college but not a college degree. And a lot of those individuals, if given the opportunity, would like to go back to school and pick up some sort of degree or certificate or some sort of training to put on their resume. And with the new flexible degree programs at the University of Wisconsin's rolling out, which was from the direction of the legislature, that will also both create flexibility, which also creates the opportunity to make college more affordable for people that need to work while they're going to school. I've been there. I mean, I graduated a high school. And my father said, hey, Dale, I'm a garbage man. Your mom's a nurse. Figure it out. And so in Illinois, what we had is a thing called community colleges. It was very similar to our two-year colleges or tech colleges here. And I went there, and I paid for that, and then went on to Lakeland College for a year and a half and graduated early. So I think in Wisconsin, especially with these new tools available, there's a way for blue-collar workers and blue-collar kids of those workers to gain affordable access to college in Wisconsin.
We're going to check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll continue with today's big question. What is the state of the state of Wisconsin? I'm Joy Curdine. This is the Ideas Network. So, how would you describe the state of Wisconsin? That's today's big question. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Curdine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Curdine Show. So do you think that the state of the state is strong, as Governor Walker proclaimed in his state of the state address last night, or something else, and why? What would make it better? Let us know as we talk with two state lawmakers who are giving us their assessment of the state of Wisconsin, and we are talking about some of the specifics that Governor Walker brought up in his address last night. We are talking with Dale Coinga, a Republican state representative from Brookfield and vice chair of the legislature's Joint Finance Committee, and Jennifer Schilling, a Democratic state senator from La Crosse and the minority leader. And just before news, Representative Coinga was giving us his take on the higher education affordability plan, where the governor would help students pay off their student loans and finish college faster. What do you think of this plan, Senator Schilling?
Well, my fellow Democrats and I, we certainly welcome Governor Walker and Republicans to the debate on college affordability and student loan and offering relief. This is something that we have been talking about for several years. We have previously introduced legislation that, among other things, would lift the cap on the state's tuition and fee income tax deduction, that we have introduced legislation to allow borrowers to refinance their student loans at a lower rate, and would call for enhanced financial counseling. So when I sat and I listened to the governor tick off his package, it was it had a ring of familiarity, because those are many ideas that Democrats have put forward. The Republicans, he wants to maybe tweak it and water them down a little bit. But really, if you want to move the needle on college affordability and student loan debt, it is allowing borrowers to refinance their student loans much like they can their mortgage or their car loan. And for over 800,000 Wisconsinites that are carrying $19 billion in loan debt, that is how you get to the heart of that issue. I really feel, you know, I've said that the governor nibbles around the edges of this. It's window dressing, and certainly additional financial aid for our technical colleges is welcome, and we've tried to do that during the budget and been rejected at that. But now, I mean, it just seems like it's starting to kind of put your toe in that issue, and he must be seeing polls that are out there saying, look, this is something that middle class families are struggling with. The governor needs to try to, you know, make himself relevant here in the state after being absent for much of last year. He sees that his approval rating is about 38%, and legislative Republicans are at 31%. So in the last, you know, floor session here we have before we adjourn, trying to move on some of these middle class issues that for much too long we have not dealt with stagnant wages for middle class. We have not dealt with college affordability. We haven't dealt with higher education. So, you know, we welcome him to this debate because we've been in the ring talking about this for a long time.
Representative Cuenca, is the governor tardy to the party?
No, and this is, I mean, I know it's, when you're a Democratic minority leader in Wisconsin, you ought to pin an issue that is a problem for the middle class. Let's not doubt that this is a problem for the middle class, and it's a problem for the middle class in Wisconsin. But the student debt issue is a national issue. And if you look at what's going on nationally, is over the last, especially over the last 6-7 years, the student debt has exploded. And if you look at that, there's many different reasons for that. But one of the reasons is that you have a policy in place now that you can forgive student loans if an individual works for not-for-profits for a certain period of time, or if they work for government for a certain period of time. And so what you're seeing is people are accumulating larger balances because they are accumulating their balances and not paying that off because under the expectation that that will be forgiven. So, I mean, it's a complicated issue, but to paint a picture that we are in dire straits in Wisconsin, this is a Wisconsin-specific issue, is not accurate, but it is an issue. And I'm open to ideas to talk about how we refinance. A lot of student loans are already refinanced by the federal government. And so if you look at that, we're definitely open for ideas. How do we keep those loans lower? But even if you're talking about refinancing, you're talking about the interest portion on that student loan. I mean, there's been no ideas out there as far as how do you dip away at the principal portion, the portion that's actually the portion that you're going to take the interest off of. And if you look at our policies, which is don't have that principal portion in the first place, and that's what we did with increasing the amount you could put in the college savings plans, having other people put into it. The tuition freeze makes that principal amount lower. And also flexible degree says, you know, one of the ways not to have student debt is to have flexibility to work while you're going to school, which is what our flexible degree plan going. So is there more work to do on this? Absolutely. Yes, but you know, the accusation that we're late to the party or that we woke up one morning and say, "Oh, this is a problem," and it's a problem in Wisconsin, is I don't believe that's accurate. And we're going to keep working on the issue as well.
We are talking with two state legislators about last night's State of the State address. Governor Scott Walker delivered his 6th State of the State address before the state legislature last night. We are discussing the proposals put forth and welcoming your questions and your reactions and your answer to today's big question. How would you describe the state of the state of Wisconsin? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Ned in Lake Dubé is with us. Hi, Ned.
Hi. The best-paying jobs in Wisconsin are often requiring a high degree of education, and that involves the UW system. There's been an assumption that the UW system will stay the same quality even with the massive cuts in recent years that have resulted in many of our best faculty leaving the UW system and many of the best candidates for faculty positions turning down job offers, resulting in failed searches. And the question is why? Why, when Wisconsin system, UW system, does nationwide searches, do candidates turn us down? And the answer is our reputation has gone down significantly in the last couple of years. What we used to be able to do is offset relatively low pay compared to neighboring states for our faculty with good benefits. And now the good benefits are not as good as they used to be. And as someone that served as a chair of a department in the UW system, I know this firsthand. Many of our best faculty, if they're under the age of 50 to 55, are leaving the state, and many of the searches that we do are failed searches, meaning we weren't able to fill the position.
All right, Ned. Well, I'm going to have Representative Cuenca bring this one back. So the state of the state is not so strong in part, Ned says, because the UW system has been hurt by budget cuts and benefit cuts and the like. What's your reaction to that?
A copy of the latest UW financial statements. And if you look at the UW financial statements, the UW system is financially just as healthy as it was several years ago. If you look at the system is larger in some measurements than some states in the United States. It is a very large system. So I was not a proponent of the cuts. I did not like the cuts to UW system, and I actively worked with members on both parties in joint finance to lessen those cuts and give more flexibility to the UW system to deal with those cuts, because I do believe that the UW system is a huge value to our state. It's a catalyst for jobs. It's a catalyst for our students that go on to do great things, both in the private sector and public sector. But I hear from different folks as well, I hear from other folks in the UW system that say that they are getting the best people still, that they are able to sell the university system. Now, I do agree with Ned, whether it be our university system or our K-12 system, is what we need to do politically in the state is we need to stop this very public, these fights that seem personal, and the seem on the attack from both Republicans and Democrats, because we do need to be a place in our country and actually internationally where we're recruiting the best and brightest to get in our classrooms, both at K-12 and the university level. And I think we could do that best by political dialogue that's responsible. And, going forward, I think it's definitely one of my priorities to make sure the university system is not cut again, and the same with K-12 education. Mm-hmm.
Senator Schilling.
Well, I agree with many of Ned's points, and representing a campus at UW-La Crosse, living on the border of Minnesota and Wisconsin, just the idea when the governor proposed the $300 million cut to the university system, many campuses or departments were in active searches for candidates, and when those professors or others heard about that, they're like, "Whoa, what's happening in Wisconsin? Why?" I was looking at your department, but I think I'm going to go somewhere else. I mean, just the notion of proposing this harmed recruitment, and we are seeing other universities and other states who are investing in higher education that they are drawing away our talented faculty and staff. Just the idea of, the debate, we haven't gotten there yet in the Senate. We don't know how it's going to get resolved, but the idea of banning the life-saving research, that is harming the university system and will have a very chilling effect about research and development on research that is happening in the state. We are losing faculty. We are losing, there are students who I ask them, where are you applying to go to college? And I say, are you looking at Wisconsin? Hands will go up. Are you looking at other states? And like I said, I'm a border community to Minnesota. Many hands go up because they say, we're looking at Minnesota because they're investing in higher education and we have opportunities there. So recruitment has been harmed. The reputation, I believe, has been harmed. And this is a system that is has a strong reputation nationally and internationally, and we continue to have harmful cuts to it, and I'm concerned about morale of the folks on campus that are have the responsibility of educating the students of today to become the workforce of tomorrow.
We have Carrie on Facebook who says, my property taxes have gone up and my state employee health insurance has gone up. Copays have gone up. Coverage has gone down. Local taxes and fees have gone up, and local services have gone down. So he's not pleased with the personal state of affairs. Dale Coinga, it's not all rosy for everybody?
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going up and down there, so I'll try to just address a couple different items. I don't know what insurance plan is or where that's from, but I think most people, both public and private sector, have seen insurance costs go up. And I don't want to jump into an Affordable Care Act debate, but when you say that your insurance has to cover people all the way up to 26 years old, when you say there's no pre-existing, and I'm not making commentary on any of those policies right now, but I'm just saying that when you're saying that more people are to be covered in your insurance, whether it's your insurance or the guy next to you, essentially those insurance rates are going to go up, and you're going to see more and more of that as the Affordable Care Act continues to transition in. Property taxes, that's a community-by-community aspect. So there is a formula. Generally speaking, statewide levies are down as far as the property tax being paid. But there are communities where the community, especially if it's the combination of your school, your county, and your city, have gone to the max everything they can, and depending on other assessed value in your community, there's a possibility that your taxes went up, but it depends on where you live.
Yeah, and she specifically was talking about state employee health insurance. Do you want to weigh in, Senator Schilling?
Well, and I think, the governor likes to talk about the average and if property taxes have gone down, what that has been. But I certainly think it is community by community, that many communities have gone to referendum for their schools or their technical colleges. They have voluntarily, you know, said, look, we this is a priority. We want to invest. This is important to our community, our region. And so they have put forward these referendums, hundreds of referendums across the state that schools have had to go to ask taxpayers for more revenue because we have seen cuts in education at the state level, and we have not been that good partner with our local school districts in our community. So I always kind of take that with a grain of salt when we talk about, you know, taxes have gone down. Many communities, that's not been the case because of we have not been good partners on the education funding. And property taxpayers have said, look, this is important. Schools are important to us. We value this, and we know that they need additional assistance from the community.
Yeah. Senator Schilling, the governor did last night also say he wanted to invest in education by using the savings that would be garnered by possible reforms to state government, specifically reforms that he wants to make to change Wisconsin state employee, the health insurance system for state employees, apparently endorsing a self-insurance model. What do you think of this?
Well, that was interesting, and I kind of feel like it's a little bit more of the same of sort of divisiveness as far as sort of pitting state employees against schools and finding, you know, resources to and those savings from health insurance and asking state employees to pay a little bit more and putting those savings into education. And really that self-funded, we have various reports, some, you know, that say, look, there could be savings. Other reports say there could be, there could be additional cost. So I think, as I heard my Republican leader colleagues talking about this issue, that they were skeptical. They wanted to go slow. They wanted to make sure it didn't jeopardize the, you know, private insurance side and that the marketplace there. And so I am skeptical on this one as well, and really think that this needs to take some time. And look, if you're going to invest in schools and you're going to plow more money into schools, then just be upfront and say, we're going to do this on the front end, that we have general purpose revenue that we want to put into our schools, that this is a priority during the budget process, and that we will carve that out at the beginning of the budget debate rather than seeing what's left over and putting it towards our schools at the end. Just to say that this is a priority and that the schools need additional revenue, and be upfront about it rather than trying to kind of have this savings of insurance through public employees and, again, asking more from them.
Now, we just have 2 minutes before a news break. Representative Coinga, what do you think of this self-insurance model for state employee health insurance?
But if I was someone who wanted to see a commitment to public schools, I think the way the governor phrased it, it actually fairly comforting. The reason for that is that, you know, if you look at the national economy right now, the signals are not good for 2016. The market reflects that. Just 2016 doesn't look like a robust year economically. And so if you're looking at for revenues for the next budget, I would take comfort in the fact they said, listen, we're not, you know, promising the revenue, that's the additional revenue. We're going to look at, you know, the state's largest insurance system and look at efficiencies and see if we could do something there to help fund public schools. And it's a very complicated issue. I know you people don't want to talk about finance and insurance at this time of the morning, but generally speaking, I think that there is an opportunity there for significant savings while having no significant impact on the state employees that count on that very good insurance. And so it'll be interesting to see what they come up with. There's been a lot of different consultants' reports and a lot of different opinions, but I'm in all favor if we could find efficiencies and then put those towards our schools. I think that's a no-brainer, and definitely we'll be looking at details to see if we can make that happen.
We will check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we will continue our coverage of Governor Walker's State of the State address, which he delivered last night before the state legislature. We have two state legislators with us this hour during this big question. Dale Coinga is a Republican state representative from Brookfield and vice chair of the legislature's Joint Finance Committee. And Jennifer Schilling is a Democratic state senator from La Crosse. She is a Democratic minority leader in the state Senate. And we are welcoming your questions for both of them. We are welcoming your answer to today's big question. How do you describe the state of the state? Do you think it's good or bad or somewhere in between? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. This is The Big Question on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. In today's big question, we are asking you and our guests, what is the state of the state of Wisconsin? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We are talking with two state lawmakers about the state of the state and Governor Walker's State of the State address last night. Jennifer Schilling is with us. She's a Democratic state senator from La Crosse and the Senate's Democratic minority leader. And Dale Coinga, a Republican state representative from Brookfield and vice chair of the legislature's Joint Finance Committee. Representative Coinga, before we get back to the state of the state, just because we are talking about what was at one time a wrongful conviction in Wisconsin, Stephen Avery spending time in prison for a rape he did not commit, I understand from my producer that you are introducing a bill regarding wrongful convictions.
Yeah, that bill's been, thanks for asking about, by the way, that bill's been introduced, and it's actually just passed the Senate committee, and it will pass the Assembly committee shortly, and I spoke to the Speaker, he's supportive, as well as the Governor. Essentially, Wisconsin is woefully unjust in the sense that we only give $5,000 a year for wrongfully convicted individuals. We want to raise it to $50,000 a year, up to a maximum of $1 million, and then also provide health insurance and other transition benefits for people that are falsely incarcerated. So Representative Gary Hebel has been great to work with on this, as well as Senator Weingard. And so really trying to push this forward. It won't provide justice, if you will. You can't provide justice to someone who's been falsely incarcerated. We did not see this whole Making a Murderer documentary come, so this is not a response to the whole Avery issue. This is separate, and he's not eligible for the exoneration because he was subsequently convicted. But hoping that people put pressure on the legislators, because we really think that we need to do more for people that are falsely incarcerated in Wisconsin.
A brief react to that, Senator Schilling?
I look forward to hearing more about the details and if it is up before the Senate adjourns in mid-March.
And Senator Schilling, again, not from the State of the State address last night, but from state news, we understand that the state Senate takes up changes to the civil service system in Wisconsin today. It would eliminate that civil service exam and go to a more resume-based system. This passed the Assembly. If the Senate passes this, it then goes to Governor Walker. What do you think of this change?
Well, I'm totally opposed to it. I find it very troubling. We've had the civil service program for over 100 years here in Wisconsin. It really was designed to take politics out of agencies and the hiring of people. And now to do away with kind of these anonymous exams to go with gubernatorial appointees, so Democrat or Republican. So right now, Governor Walker appointees can look at resumes and can hire people in agencies sort of based on looking at that. That we really should be protecting the public from these partisan bents in agencies, and this bill that goes the complete opposite. And I think we're going to have a long, healthy debate on this today on the Senate floor. But again, this is one of those issues that totally misses the mark of like what hardworking Wisconsin families and Wisconsin seniors think about and want for the best in the state of Wisconsin, that they are concerned about our transportation system and investments and infrastructure. They are worried about making child care more affordable. These are things that Democrats want to be talking about, and today I have never had anyone at a dairy breakfast or a county fair or at a parade come up to me and talk about this issue. So I think it's, again, an issue that the majority has clearly taken their eyes off of economic challenges and jobs and what we need to do in this state for the economy, and we're going to these quote-unquote reforms that nobody has brought up to our attention. That is something that is keeping Wisconsin back from achieving our full potential.
Yeah, very, very briefly, is there any doubt that it's going to pass, Senator Schilling?
If it's on the calendar, I'm sure that the Senate Majority Leader has the votes for it.
Yeah, and very briefly, Representative Coinga, anything wrong? Or do you support the change to the civil service system?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you look at the things like the civil service exam, these go back just decades and decades, and it was when a time where we didn't have the transparency as far as certificates and degrees. And if someone comes out with, you know, the University of Wisconsin system and they have a master's degree, I don't see we need to pile on like an exam and stuff like that, which is antiquated and dated. Essentially, the current system doesn't even allow. There's been cases out there. There's been one case where a couple was trying to have sex in every single room of a government building, and they couldn't get rid of that person. There was another example where a guy, won't call him a gentleman because he's obviously not a gentleman, was looking at pornography on his computer for many hours during the day, and because of our civil service rules, they could not get rid of him. So I think this is not, I think that some people want to paint this as, once again, an attack on people, but I think these are just common sense changes to state employees that will lead to better service for Wisconsin residents and provide a less hostile workplace for people that want to use their computers for pornography or other acts that are just not appropriate in the workplace.
Well, back to the State of the State address. Pete on Facebook says that Governor Walker touted broadband expansion after turning down $20 million in federal funding for that. That's like touting Medicaid expansion after kicking 86,000 out of the program. So Pete thinks this was, he's changing his tune now on broadband. Representative Coinga.
Yeah, I can't speak to the money on broadband he rejected. I'm not aware of that, but I know in the budget we have consistently expanded broadband funding in Wisconsin. I think it's critical, especially for northern Wisconsin, western Wisconsin. You know, intuitively, you would think that those were places where you could do a lot of jobs remotely. For example, I have a friend who's reads X-rays, and she sits in her home and does that at home as a doctor. And so, I think we really provide broadband access across, especially areas of our state that the commercial market has not been able to do that. That is very critical for our state, and it should be a high priority, and has my full support.
Mm-hmm. Senator Schilling?
Well, again, this is an issue that I welcome broadband debate and expansion, and we've recognized that that is part of infrastructure in the state. It's roads, bridges, broadband expansion, and really what the governor is proposing. And the caller is correct. The governor rejected federal dollars. I think it was $23 million in federal grant money to expand broadband. What the Finance Committee has done in the budget, I mean, it's been maybe $5 to $6 million of broadband money. Our neighbors in Minnesota, they are running circles around Wisconsin when it comes to broadband expansion. I think recently the governor in Minnesota, they put forward $10 million for 2 years, so $20 million in expansion, and now the governor, Dayton, has put forward a $100 million proposal for broadband expansion on top of the $30 million that they had previously put forward. So certainly it is critical for tourism, for health care, for education in our hospitals. I mean, it really is the great equalizer as far as, you know, people expect to have that connectivity around the state. And as we look at broadband and really what the governor is putting forward is taking some money that's been allocated for in a future budget and bringing that in and using that sooner. You know, he was up in northern Wisconsin before Christmas, and he was doing a road tour and talking about these broadband grants and, you know, patting himself on the back. It was $1.5 million, and as I talked to my Senate colleagues up there, it connected like 54 homes. So there's the rest of the story as we talk about this. It's a, you know, broadband, I'm glad we're talking about that. It's a good start, but we have to do so much more, and we can do much more in broadband expansion for connectivity, for economic development, and helping people who want to live in the community, if it's a small rural community, have those, you know, cottage industries and be a small business owner because they love the quality of life of where they live, but they're connected to that global market.
Let's get a call in from Rick in Oshkosh. Hello, Rick. What do you think about the state of the state?
Good morning, Joy. It's a very good program you have on this morning. I'm glad that we have a chance to comment about it. The the question I have is, how can we have a $3 to $4 billion deficit and still use the cover of structural deficit to say, when the governor said that we have a surplus? And I have a question about how can we keep on kicking the can down the street and not doing anything about this, and yet, I believe we're still kicking the can down the street, as his predecessor was said to be kicking the can down.
Yeah, thank you, Rick. Well, we're really short on time. Representative Coinga, are we kicking the can down the street?
There is no $3 to $4 billion deficit. I don't know where that comes from. It's just simply not true. Our gap deficit that we inherited is significantly down from 2010. We have a 16,500% increase in our rainy day fund. Structurally, relatively speaking, in government in Wisconsin, we're in good shape as a fund of a balance, although we look at revenue challenges going forward. You know, I think that I would always, especially as a CPA, MBA guy, I would like to see us be more financially solvent, but relatively speaking, we are light years ahead of where we were 5 years ago, and I think we're on the road to continuously being solvent.
Do you want to, in just 30 seconds, weigh in on this issue, Senator Schilling?
Well, I believe the nonpartisan fiscal bureau that both Democrats and Republicans have a tremendous respect for will have new revenue numbers later this week, possibly tomorrow. So we will take a look at that. But from what I am hearing, early numbers, that it's not going to be a really robust number that we see coming forward. And so we're going to have to continue to deal with that while many other states have seen stronger economic comebacks than what we have seen in Wisconsin. They have put their priorities in other places that have helped that return on investment in a greater way than what we have seen in Wisconsin. But I look forward to those numbers tomorrow and to see kind of what that means for Wisconsin.
And I want to thank both of our guests for being with us. Thanks very much to Jennifer Schilling, a Democratic state senator from La Crosse and the Democratic minority leader in the state Senate, and Dale Coinga, Republican state representative from Brookfield and vice chair of the legislature's Joint Finance Committee. If you would like to continue to weigh in on today's big question, what is the state of the state of Wisconsin, you can vote in today's online poll. We have an online poll at WPR.org/joy, or you can find it on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We ask you to vote on how you would describe the state of the state of Wisconsin. Thanks very much to Bill Martins and to Chris Molina for producing this program. Thanks to Christy Taylor for on-air direction. And thanks to Niaja Ellison, our new producer, for on-air production. And thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. We are going to talk about that documentary series, Making a Murderer, coming up in our next hour. Tomorrow at this time, we are going to take a look at how the issue of health care is playing out on the campaign trail. This is the Ideas Network.